The following program, the Acunet Mortgage and Realty Show, is paid for in full by Acunet Mortgage, LLC, an equal housing lender, consumeraccess.org number 255368. The advice and opinions expressed during the Acunet Mortgage and Realty Show are solely that of the hosts and guests of Acunet Mortgage, LLC, and not WTMJ or Good Karma Brands.
Welcome to the Acunet Mortgage and Realty Show, getting you inside information on buying, selling, and financing your home with expert advice from Acunet Mortgage and Realty. And now, here's Brian and David Wickert.
Welcome to the Acunet Mortgage and Realty Show. I'm Brian Wickert, the real estate broker with Acunet Realty Advisors and also the majority owner of Acunet Mortgage, where my individual NMLS ID number is 259610. And I'm here today along with my son, David, David Wickert, who is one of Acunet's senior loan consultants and our chief client experience officer. His individual NMLS ID number is 328847. If you got a question or a comment, you can call or text us on the WTMJ talk and text line, which is 855-616-1620. And remember, you can get a podcast of today's show wherever you normally get your podcasts. So, David, last week we talked about the job market, the job report, the March jobs report, which came in way better than expected, like $100,000 more jobs than the economists thought were going to be created. Mm-hmm. And that should have been bad for interest rates, but it was a meh. This week, we weren't so lucky. We got the consumer price index for March. It came out on Wednesday, and it's generating headlines like this. Wall Street Journal this week, stay put or pay up. Home buyers lose hope for lower rates. Or the New York Times, what was their deal? The New York Times says, inflation comes for the housing market. And then their first paragraph is, the higher for longer inflation predicament has hit the U.S. housing market like a thunderbolt. Well, first, let's tell us what happened. You tell us what happened, and then let's get regrounded to reality, at least the way we're experiencing it at the front lines of mortgage lending and home buying. What happened?
The forecast for the consumer price index was 3.4, and it came in at 3.5. Thunderbolt.
Thunderbolt, but it did have a outsized effect.
Well, why? It's because it's, you know, like, think of inflation like getting fat and skinny. It's like, yeah, inflation is getting less fat, but that's not the same thing as we are getting inflation skinny. And so we're just kind of, we've been treading water, it feels like, on inflation. We keep stepping on the scale and stepping on the scale, and it's like, why won't this number go down? And markets, you know, we thought we'd be losing weight on inflation, and we haven't. And so markets took that as poor news.
And I think it was kind of that, like, we kind of took the job report in stride. Oh, my God, now we get this worse than expected reading on inflation. And they just kind of lit their hair on fire. Yeah. Kind of maybe overdid it. I think, you know, things got a little bit better late in the week, correct? For mortgage rates?
Sure. Yeah. It moderated at the end of the week. You know, mostly this is all, the markets are always forward looking. And so with new data, the future time when the Fed starts to cut rates kind of keeps getting pushed out into the horizon little bit by little bit. And one smart thing I read this week was the Fed was late to the party on combating inflation. Okay. And so they'd like to not repeat the late to the party MO in, they don't want to break the economy. They might cut a little early because they don't want to push out past, you know, when it's too late to pull the economy back from breaking.
Oh, I see. Okay. So they don't want to be late in cutting. So, all right.
They were late to raise. They don't want to be late in cutting, but we're still not there yet. There's no proof, man. Hot jobs and not relief on inflation. Like, we're not there.
So, just to say it out loud, last week, we said, hey, you could still snag a 6.99 30-year fixed rate if you were willing to pay $1,900 and some in total loan costs. That's on a $262,000 loan amount with 25% down, excellent credit, and all the other right stuff with an APR of like 7.02. This week, you would have had to pay $1,200 more. to get the 699 rate.
Which is crummy, but holds back zero home buyers.
Okay, so that's the punchline for this segment is we've got these headlines out here, you know, from the New York Times and Wall Street Journals. I read them both every day saying, wow, this is not good. Housing gloom, a thunderbolt. You're not seeing that on the front lines?
No. I'll say it to you this way. The CPI report came out on Wednesday. Do you know how many of my pre-approved clients called me to say, oh, David, we're throwing in the towel?
I'm out.
Zero clients. Because people are buying for real-life reasons, and rates are kind of just the smelly sock that they're going to have to deal with to do the more important thing, which is achieve that next chapter in life.
Correct. And I'll just blurt out, you know, the Mortgage News Daily, which we think is the best and most current source for mortgage information in America, because guess what? It's daily. Yeah. They're out there saying that it's about 7.3 something for a 30-year fixed rate now with all the right stuff. And so Acunet could do 7.375 with just $940 of total loan costs. And the difference between that awful sounding rate and a 699 rate on a $262,000 loan amount is $68 American. Probably not going to break.
You're still going to buy the house. Yeah,
that's right. Speaking of buying houses, David, you've helped a lot of buyers this week. You got a story you want to share with us when we come back about somebody who beat out only six other offers with your help. We'll give you that info when we come back. You're listening to the Acunet Mortgage and Realty Show on AM 620 WTMJ.
Home buying advice from the guys who know it best. This is the Acunet Mortgage and Realty Show with Brian Wickert on WTMJ.
Welcome back to today's show. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Brian Wickert, the elder. That's David Wickert, the younger, taller, more handsome of the Wickert team. And David, you got a story you want to share about a client that beat out, only six other offers? How'd they do that?
And another story after that about another client who beat out 10 other offers. But let's start with this one. So buyers, Acunet clients are winning. And for this client, it was in Ozaukee County, more than $500,000. And there were six other offers, of which, Dad, you'll be pleased to know that two of those competing offers were cash.
Ooh, love it when one of our rock solid pre-approved buyers beats out a cash offer, because the cash offer, to use sheephead parlance, is the queen of clubs. The most powerful, typically, right? Oh, man, it's a cash offer.
It is. And as I got more of the story, so like Friday afternoon, I get pulled in. Hey, we saw this house. We're writing an offer. Our Acunet clients, super strong. They had just sold a house. They've got an enormous down payment, like 50%. Great jobs. Just like the most slam dunkiest of home buyers. A safe choice for any seller. They're writing the offer on the home. I, of course, pick up the phone and call the listing agent, who is delighted that I'm calling from my cell phone. Be like, call or text anytime. You and your sellers will never be wondering what is going on with our home sale, because you're going to hear from me. And also, you're never calling a skyscraper wondering what's going on. This is my cell phone. This is how my wife texts me, you know, there's a dirty diaper that needs changing. It is tattooed to my hand. And furthermore, because we have the address of the house that they're listed in, you'll be delighted by this as well. Hey, what do you know? We run it through the software, the mortgage underwriting software, no appraisal needed.
The sweetest words ever. No appraisal required. Do we put that on the, David, do we put that anywhere on the rock solid pre-approval
in
letter?
Yellow highlighter.
Bold. Yellow highlighter, bold.
Here it is. No one is walking through the house. At this price, with this great down payment, and these awesome buyers, and their great credit scores, no appraiser has to walk through the house.
Were they offering over asking, perhaps?
They were, and they were using an escalator clause, pretty heavy-duty escalator. Like, we'll beat anybody, like, up to $50,000 above what our first offer is.
Okay.
And so I got the story then that following Monday that the cash offers, they were willing to go above the price that the cash offers were willing to pay.
Yeah.
And it helped, and we were, because the Acunet team and our colleague Jason Hansen runs a tight ship in operations. You want a 2-week closing? No problem. So
beautiful.
I even made the joke to the listing agent. I was like, I'm not even sure a seller can find their money or liquidate as fast as the Acunet team can actually get the mortgage money to closing.
The buyer can come up with the money? You're saying seller. Do you mean
right? A competitive like cash offer, right? It's like I can write cash, but like, you know, I got to sell my boat to, you know, I'm being facetious.
Well, I got to sell my stocks and blah, blah, blah or whatever. Yeah.
So that all comes together, and on Monday, I learned the great news that they have the accepted offer. The other element was our buyers, in my opinion, smartly waived the inspection.
Okay.
Because they've got the money. There is nothing that could come up on the inspection that they couldn't fix with cash.
And this isn't a 100-year-old house. It's probably,
It's not new. It's medium. Not new,
but it's, you know, okay. It's medium. And, you
it
know,
they might went be drawing Social Security, but, you know, it's.
Okay. All right. But it's not a high risk. And they can afford it, like you said.
And exactly.
They can afford to fix anything that they discover. So there, this is, again, we've said this dozens of times. It's all about certainty in the eyes of the seller. And we gave them a super certain rock solid. Did they have to go all the way up to their max, or did they just have to go partway on the escalator?
Middle. Yeah, just kind of in the middle, good.
All right, good story. I like that. You know what? I bet you can top that, though, David, because these people only beat out six offers.
Six of them. And
two of them were cash. When we come back, David's going to regale us with another story where our client beat out 10 other offers. You're listening to the Acunet Mortgage and Realty Show on the biggest stick in the state, AM 620 WTMJ.
Getting you into the home of your dreams. Here's more of the Acunet Mortgage and Realty Show with Brian Weckert on WTMJ.
Thanks again for tuning in to today's show. And, you know, the headlines are out there making it sound like buyers are quitting. And maybe some are. There's probably some buyers that are throwing in the towel or aren't getting into the home buying game. But the fact of the matter is inventory is still tight, at least in Wisconsin. Maybe not in every part of the country, because remember, all real estate markets are local, and they're even more local than that once you get within a certain price range. So we are finding that in April here, the middle of April, people are still battling against multiple offers on homes. And David, tell us this one about where our client, these make me so proud. Good job, David. Beat out 10 other offers. How the heck do you do that?
People bring their strength. And I think some of our job is to make sure that we mirror the strength that they have and shout it from the rooftop so that the seller knows. My client could make a great down payment, more than 20% down payment.
Okay.
Excellent job. No home to sell. Ooh. And great credit. And wrote a competitive offer. The list price was in the low 200s, and they probably ended up writing 10, 15 over that list price.
Okay, so 5-ish percent, 5 to 6 or 7% over the asking price.
Exactly. Which, if you ever wanted validation that the house is worth it, tell the 9 people who lost. Like, that's clearly, you know, what you're willing to pay for it is probably closer to reality for what the house is worth, not just the list price.
Yeah.
And as we do at Acunet Mortgage, I'm on the phone with the listing agent being like, oh, 2-week closing. I mean, you could call me the 2-week king these last couple days.
Wow.
But 2 weeks, well, it's because, you know, we're ready, right? Our buyers are, we've got their down payment documented. We've got their income ready to go.
It's just a matter of getting the appraisal. Do we need an appraisal on this one?
This one, in recent months and years, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac have rolled out what's called a PDR, a property data report, which is, it's not a full appraisal, but it's not an appraisal waiver. It's kind of in the middle. And what's nice about that PDR, the value is not up for analysis by the appraiser.
The appraiser does not say, and I think this house is worth this many dollars.
Correct. The software says, I believe you on value, but I'd like someone to walk through the house to make sure it's not, you know, dilapidated and fallen apart on the inside.
Sure.
So that level of comfort, so great down payment, a little relief, you know, because the seller, I didn't dive into the listings and maybe how they came up with their list price, but okay. Hey, maybe it's a little at the top end of what that market can justify.
Okay.
If you got the full appraisal and, you know, hey, sellers, they want every dollar that they can get reasonably.
And maybe it's an old enough house. I think you in your notes that you sent me, is it in Milwaukee County? Maybe it's an older home.
Yeah.
And so maybe the Fannie Freddie software says, oh, I know how old this house is. you know, let's make sure it's not, you know, like you said, dilapidated and, you know, the roof's not caving in.
The one example, just to get in the weeds on this, is to confirm that the details that the software thinks it knows about the house are actually still true in real life. Like, hey, in our software, we identify this home as 3 bedrooms. Well, what if the seller crazily knocked down a wall and combined 2 bedrooms together and it's actually just 2 bedrooms now?
2 bedrooms.
You need to...
What about bathrooms? Yeah. Square footage.
So our client got the accepted offer. Interesting twist, though. Our client does not have a credit score.
What?
And that is okay. So a year ago, we had accessed credit. They had 800 credit. Then if you don't use your, have a car loan, right? You don't use your credit muscle. The 3 bureaus stop calculating a credit score for you.
I can't predict your future if you have no recent past, is what they're saying.
But in this special circumstance, he has trade lines, you know, credit cards that just haven't been used. So when you run him through the approval software, you get the thumbs up, but then you have to use alternative credit. I'm literally using his 12 months of We Energy bills and 12 months of Spectrum bills to prove, look, he pays his bills on time.
He knows how to pay on time. Wow, David, I didn't know we could do a loan without a credit score.
So. Yeah, but it's important because he only doesn't have a credit score because he's like so good at not owing money.
Right. It's not like he has a checkered past or something
exactly.
Like that. Okay, well, that's a great story. Anything else to add to that, or are we ready to...
2 weeks. By the time we do our next show, they're going to be homeowners.
By the way, the fastest we can close is 8 days by regulation.
Yeah.
All right. When we come back, I've got a story, David, about a home seller who wants to be a home buyer in Illinois who wants to sell her existing home to her son. The old family deal. I've got a lot of meat on that bone. We'll cover that right after we turn it over to the WTMJ Breaking News Center.
Don't break the bank to get into a house. Back to the Acunet Mortgage and Realty Show with Brian Wickert on WTMJ.
Welcome back to today's edition of the Acunet Mortgage and Realty Show. I'm Brian Wickert, the majority owner of Acunet Mortgage, and that's my son David over there, our Chief Client Experience Officer and Senior Loan Consultant. David, I got a call on, I think it was Tuesday, from a past client that we had refinanced twice who lives in Northern Illinois, and she's since retired. And now has had her son and girlfriend and grandchild living with them for the last 2 years. It was supposed to be 1 year, and then I think it turned into two. And now the plan is for the son and girlfriend to purchase her home. And then she wants to go downsize and buy a townhome for maybe $100,000 less or $75,000 less, still nearby. So that's the game plan. So she's calling me up to be pre-approved.
Living with you has been fun. I'd like to now not live with you.
Well, you know, I'm what have you. You know, who knows? But, and she did, I think she did kind of say that, the kids now were in a hurry for her to get out, even though they've been living there for 2 years.
Oh, you're still here? Yeah.
So two things. Thing number one is she was thinking, you know what? I Googled it. I did it on Redfin, and the fair market value of my home seems to be about $337,000. But I'm going to give you a discount and sell to you for $310,000. You know, maybe it needs a little deferred maintenance, and I want to give you a good deal. So put a pin in that, right? We know that there's opportunity there, which I did start to explain to her. I did end up then, I said, can I please talk to your son and explain to him how it's better for him if we set the purchase price at the fair market value.
Yes.
Of 337.
Yes.
And then you just gift him the $27,000 of equity. Okay, so what's the number one question that arises if a person hears, oh, my mom is going to gift me $27,000?
This is appropriate ahead of tax day on Monday here. Isn't the IRS going to come and like gouge my eyes out because I gave too much money to somebody else as a gift?
You're, or you're going to gouge my mother's eyes out? You know, isn't there some sort of a limit? And the answer is the 2024 annual gift exclusion limit is $18,000. And so if you multiply that by two, that's 36.
Yeah.
So we can skate that way. Okay, so we kind of got over that hurdle. And what it's going to do is lower their closing costs by about at least $1,000.
Okay.
Because we're going to take them from putting 25% down to 25% down. And the more down payment you have, the better the pricing is.
Yep.
But wait, there's more. The son had been talking to several lenders and was told that since it's a family transaction, it could be arranged so that mom could go out and shop for her townhome, get an accepted offer on that smaller, let's say $240,000 property, and then both transactions could close on the same day. The sale of her existing home to the son and her purchase of the townhome. Easy peasy. What's the matter with that game plan?
I mean, it could, but when she writes the offer on her next townhome, ethically, she would need to say, by the way, I can only buy my new house if at 10 a.m. I sell my house to my son and I scoot across the office 11 a.m. to buy your new house.
Correct. So the offer to purchase would have to be marked with, my offer is contingent upon the sale of my house, at which point the seller stops listening and doesn't want to know, but yeah, I'm selling it to my son and, you know, it's all going to work out. And
Come on, it's all situational. If it's a seller who's, you know, dying for any fish on the hook.
Okay, but here's the problem. She tells me that in the suburb where she wants to buy, it's slim pickings. So I said, well, why don't we get your buyer's agent on the phone? So we did that, I think it was on Thursday. Did a little conference call. Her name is Andrea. And I said, Andrea, so, you know, this is where we are. I was thinking that it would be a lot better for my client to sell to her son and have the money in her bank account before she writes any offers so that I can say in my rock solid guaranteed pre-approval, this is not contingent upon the sale of the home. Right. She's got all the money. We verified it. We verified her income, which by the way, I called her financial advisor and got her IRA statements because there's our fill in the blank money that we need to qualify her in addition to her Social Security. I can give you a rock solid guaranteed pre-approval. Or buyer's agent, Andrea, or do you think it's okay to write offers contingent on the sale of the home? She said, oh my God, do not write offers contingent on the sale of your home.
Yeah.
You will never get your offer accepted. She said, I do a lot of listings, and that's the first thing. So she testified as expected.
Unprompted. Well,
unprompted,
with,
right.
With prompt, but
uncoached.
Uncoached,
yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. So now I'm working on the son to, you know, try to get him to see the light that, hey, you know what we got to do is we got to consummate this deal. And he had all kinds of objections. I got a little bit more to tell about his view of the world when we come back. You're listening to the Acunet Mortgage and Realty Show on Wisconsin's radio station, AM 620 WTMJ.
Important home buying questions and answers you can count on. This is the Acunet Mortgage and Realty Show with Brian Wickert on WTMJ.
David, before that last break, I was talking about a client in Illinois wanting to sell her existing home to her son and his girlfriend so that she could downsize. And we got all the elements going here. One is, well, A, they didn't know it, but they needed a quarterback for both transactions. And to help them figure out, you know, the whole process you know, what comes first. And because not knowing any better, the son had been talking to some lenders who suggested, well, we can just make both transactions close on the same day. And that is not a good idea because mom will struggle.
You can.
Yeah, you can.
You can, but a seller for mom's new house would have to be like, cool, sounds good.
Right.
Which is unlikely.
Sounds good. I trust you.
Yeah.
Right. And so the way to put mom in a better position is to say, let's sell the house. So guess what nobody had done until I came along? Computed
how can much the sun is, do it?
No, well, that's one thing, because it turns out he hasn't really been pre-approved by anybody. He saved up almost 20% down on the 310 purchase price.
Yeah.
But the other part, nobody had calculated, well, how much is mom going to net from the sale of her house?
Sure.
And in Illinois, there are certain things, and Illinois is weird, they still haven't paid their 2023 tax bill. So if we close at the end of May, which is not that far away, normally a seller would say, okay, well, I got to pay for 2023 and I got to pay for the first 5 months of 2024's property taxes. That's 11 grand. That's 11 grand on this house.
Okay.
Did you think about that? No. Okay. Now there's a state of Illinois transfer tax. Taxes are about $1,500. Normally the seller pays for that. Do you think about that? No. Okay. What about the title insurance? You know, we do a lot of for sale by owner stuff in Wisconsin. We don't do that much for sale by owner in Illinois. And so I actually reached out, got a name of an attorney. So first thing in Illinois, you always have to use an attorney. It's the Full Employment of Attorneys Act that they got down there. Can't just do it with an agent or a title company. Got to have an attorney. Yeah. So my one question was, can we just have one attorney or do they have to have two? Good answer. You only need one. He charges $750 for sale by owner. But then it comes up, she's lived there for like 23 years. So does she really need to pay for an owner's policy? And we've refinanced her twice. So just like in a lot of Florida situations, I had a loan close in Florida on Wednesday where because of the high price of title insurance in Florida, my buyer opted not to buy an owner's policy, but instead rely on the research and coverage of the lender's policy, which is for a lower amount. So you're taking a calculated risk that there's not some terrible title problem out there that would exceed the amount of your mortgage.
Can we just, I want to say that again. An owner's policy is for the full value of the property.
Right, the purchase
The lender's
price.
Policy is only for, and how much do you owe at the time you're buying this house?
And it only protects the lender. It only protects the lender. But your theory, if you decide not to go with an owner's policy, is that whatever the problem that probably there isn't any, but if ever one came up, it won't be a problem that's larger than my loan amount.
Okay.
Because the title company has to fix the problem, but only up to the level of the mortgage amount. So we'll see about that aspect. But the bottom line is, you know, I fired off an email on Friday morning and I haven't heard back yet saying, hey, here's my calculation. And by the way, it's within $180 of each other, whether you sell it at 337 with a $27,000 gift of equity or you sell it at 310 without. And the only difference is the transfer tax and the title insurance cost. That's what the differences are. But the devil is in the details. And, you know, these people, you know.
Well, because, she's a grandma. She's just like, you know, I'm going to sell it to my son.
Yeah, exactly. But she just doesn't know what she doesn't know. Luckily, she got me involved. And I got it kind of, I can see the whole field, right? I'm like Jordan Love. I can see the whole field and I know where to throw the ball to score a touchdown.
The Jordan Love.
But the son is thinking about, where am I going to get the best deal from the mortgage? You know, so I'm talking to four mortgage lenders. And it's like, you need more than an ordinary mortgage lender. You need somebody who can figure out things like it's better to pay more. So bottom line, if he goes with us, we're going to, the agent, because I facilitated this call with a real estate agent, I said she offered to do a comparative market analysis, which is going to happen this week, I think on Tuesday. We're going to start with the purchase price based on her comparative market analysis.
Yeah.
And then we're going to get an appraisal because we have to have a signed offer in order to get an appraisal. So then if the son hopefully picks us, we'll get the appraisal done. And when it comes back, we'll just set the purchase price at the appraisal, whether it's higher or lower. Maybe it's going to come back at 345, because then we could do some creative things. Like, because guess what? The payment's a little higher than they'd like. So if the price comes in higher than the 337, maybe we can have mom fund a temporary buy-down account.
Okay.
To temporarily lower their payment, you know, while we wait for rates to come down. Because just like in Wisconsin, it's cheap to refi in Illinois. All right. So we're here to help, folks. We can see the whole field. David, when we come back, you've got another story. Which one do you want to tell? You're just full of stories this week.
Dad, the story that I want to tell when we come back for our last segment is the question that I got, and I'll pose it to you and we'll, as a cliffhanger. David, can you do loan commitment in 2 days? I'll give you all of my answers when we come back. You're listening to the Acunet Mortgage and Realty Show on AM 620 WTMJ.
Find a place to call home without the headache. This is the Acunet Mortgage and Realty Show with Brian Wickard on WTMJ.
Welcome back. And so before that last break, David, you posed the cliffhanger. Would I say yes to an agent who asked if we could issue a loan commitment in 2 days after the accepted offer? And I guess my first question is, do we need an appraisal?
Yes. These clients are putting 5% down, and with a limited down payment like that, you will not get the appraisal waiver through the underwriting software.
Correct. Is technically on a purchase, can you put as little as 10% down and still get the appraisal waiver?
I've seen it at 10%. It's hard, though.
Okay. It's hard, right? All right. And then are they first-time homebuyers?
Yes.
Okay. So they have a little wiggle room. And then do you know, were they writing with an appraisal contingency at the offer price, or do you not know that?
I don't know, but I think they were, yes.
And had we verified their income and down payment?
We did. They were rock solid. They're ready to go.
Go ahead.
What I was going to say was, can I write you a loan commitment in 2 days? Yes. Should we be writing a loan commitment in 2 days? That is a greater debate.
Well, because that loan commitment that we would be writing would be conditioned upon an acceptable appraisal.
And title insurance.
And condition to the property.
And homeowner's insurance. Like, there's so many, because we probably, even the homeowner's insurance, like, what if you can't get a policy on the house because of its current state, or because it's, is it called dial and tube? Is that the old school?
No, tube and...
tube and knob?
Tube and wire. Knob and tube.
Okay.
Yeah. There's something like that. Were they having a home inspection?
I don't believe so, but I don't know for sure.
Okay, because there's another danger. So, yeah, it would seem like, yeah, sure. Well,
because once you deliver the loan commitment, you as the buyer don't have a contractual way to get out of your deal.
Well, only if you had it covered in another manner. So let's say that the only condition on our property or on our commitment letter was the appraisal. That's not great, because it doesn't say, and the appraisal has to be acceptable. Because remember, folks, we've said a couple of times on the show, appraisals come back and they get graded by Fannie and Freddie's automated underwriting system on a scale of 1 to 5, 1 being super safe, 5 being we think the appraiser was high when they did it. Yeah. And so what if we got an appraisal back at the offer price, but it had a 5 rating, which throws it into review, and then we ultimately can't do the loan because we don't think the value is there upon review? Well, now you're out of luck, right? Because you waived your financing contingency. So did you say not advisable?
Not advisable, right? It's like, can we do it? Yes. But, you know, can we have more conversation around what is it that you're trying to tell? Or I was texting and talking to brother-in-law Tim over last weekend, talking this through, and he and I got around to talking about the listing agent looking at this, right? Like, listing agents, I know a lot of them, they're savvy people. And I don't think if you put in a contract, and I'll have loan commitment in 2 days, I think most listing agents would be like, I don't believe you. Or like, what is going to be on this loan commitment? The words loan commitment might be on there, but they're going to be expecting funny business almost. Mm-hmm. Be like, really? Well, 2 days?
But remember, any conditions on the commitment letter don't matter once you deliver it. That's like the risk that the buyer is taking, because they have said, I'm good with my loan. I'm willing to accept all the risks of the conditions that my lender wrote on there, which are going to be evidence of homeowner's insurance. Were the debt-to-income ratios particularly tight on this loan?
They were totally fine. Yeah, they could afford the house, yeah.
Well, because that would be another thing. You know, homeowner's insurance is more expensive than people think these days.
Yeah.
With all the claims that we've had in southeastern Wisconsin, homeowner's insurance premiums are up. So if you've got a tight affordability situation, that could tip it over the edge. So, you know, yes, it's a tough market, and you want to impress sellers by writing smart offers. I would have rather put in some appraisal wiggle room.
Well, and had the conversation advanced, some of what I would have said is like, if a seller's going to say yes to your offer with a 2-day loan commitment, are they really that nervous if we can get like 8 days or 10 days? Like, is that gap in days really the decide? Oh, I was going to accept your offer, but now I'm not going to because you wanted 6 extra calendar days to get me clean loan commitment. I don't think you were in the running then otherwise.
Yeah. If that's what, and here's the other thing that they're going to think of is, okay, if the financing blows up and this person defaults on the contract, great, I get to keep their earnest money. How much is that, $1,000 or $2,000? Because they don't have enough money to go after them, probably, to make it worth their while. All right, so there you go. That's the latest from the front lines of home buying and mortgage lending that we know of. Thanks for tuning in today. You've been listening to the Acunet Mortgage and Realty Show on AM 620 WTMJ.
The preceding was a paid program. Advice and opinions expressed during the Acunet Mortgage and Realty Show are solely that of the hosts or guests of Acunet Mortgage and Acunet Realty Advisors, and not WTMJ Radio or Good Karma Brands Milwaukee, LLC.